Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April the 24th in the year of our Lord, 2023. This is indeed hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers, using the supreme law of the land, along with its incredible checks and balances, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is the blueprint for liberty and our guide. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org with me. Welcome back to the broadcast, sir.
Thank you for having me, Sam. It's good to be with you.
You guys had an incredible Republican leadership meeting, and you're here to report the details, right?
That's right. The Utah State Republican Party had their organizing convention on Saturday, just 2 days ago. And it was quite the event. I just want to tell our listeners, give them a little taste of what happened. Governor Ron DeSantis from Florida was our keynote speaker. He was introduced by our Senator Mike Lee, our Utah Senator Mike Lee. And then Governor DeSantis spoke for nearly an hour. It was a rousing speech. I mean, I tell you, it was kind of like a rock star up there. He was interrupted with applause dozens of times and with standing applause maybe about a dozen times. Now, a lot of people have a lot more, you know, raucous applause than I do for any governor, because I think the best politics is local politics. But and I would really prefer Ron DeSantis to stay as governor and be an example to the rest of the governors, to the rest of the states. Defying mandates out of Washington, D.C., unconstitutional mandates. So I think he's better there, although there will be a lot of people wanting him to be, you know, run for president and stuff. I really think that kind of a governor is so unusual nowadays that we need him to be a strong governor in Florida. Some of the things he said, just to give you a taste of his speech there, he flattered us first by saying, Florida is the Utah of the Southeast. That was kind of fun. He talked about
now the sad part about that. The sad part about that point, though, is it's you know, it makes everybody kind of clap and be happy in Utah. But the truth is, Utah, at least compared to the latest policies of Florida, is a flat-out liberal state. We're falling way behind, sir.
That's for sure, and that's why I say he flattered us. I use that verb flatter because, you know, it's not true what he said. You know, if Florida's Utah of the Southeast, then Florida's in pretty bad shape, because Utah's in pretty bad shape when it comes to adhering to the Constitution, understanding the proper role of government, and so forth. We are so socialistic, we're so fascist here in Utah that it's crazy. I mean, everybody touts Utah as being a conservative bastion of liberty, but that is simply
the only hope we have out of the statement he made, in my opinion, Lowell, that I think is relevant, is, you know, if we can start to create kind of a battle between the states, not a bad one, but a friendly contest, if you will, between the states to become more constitutional. It's like, hey, Florida did this right. We're going to do all that and then some, kind of an attitude.
Yeah.
Then I think we can really make some headway. And I hope that's kind of the point that Ron was trying to get at, is that we need to compete in the several states for who can obey the law the most, who can double down on the Constitution the most, who can use the checks and balances properly and jettison socialism and communistic agendas, and who can really stand up for liberty and get rid of this woke agenda and critical race theory and abuse in our schools, and who can really start to stand up. And if that's his goal, to kind of start that, I don't know what you want to call it, friendly fight for the best of the best, then it's a good thing overall. So I don't mean just to down that. I do mean to put it in perspective, though, and then kind of point a way that it can be valuable.
Yeah, that I totally agree. For example, he railed against wokeism, spoke strongly against transgender surgery and hormone therapy on minors, spoke against the income tax. One of the statements that got standing applause was, he said, "Don't tell me that babies are born racist. Don't tell me that men can get pregnant. We made the state of Florida the place where woke goes to die." you know, and thunderous applause. Everybody's standing on their feet, clapping. I mean, that's the type of thing. It was a speech written to get applause, obviously, but he did say a lot of the right things. He hit a lot of the right notes for the crowd, and you know, I think it's probably a stump speech for his presidential campaign. But I'm just telling you that if, yeah, like you say, Sam, I hadn't thought about that, but if states would use this as a springboard to better policies and to defy the unconstitutional edicts out of Washington, D.C., then it will have been worth it. So much the better.
A healthy battle to stand up for what is right. One of the things that he promised to kneecap ESG in his state. This is something that we really need to take a page out of his playbook in Utah, huh?
I'll say, yeah. Not only kneecap ESG, but also to prohibit the implementation of a central bank digital currency. I mean, howdy. I mean, that's fantastic. If he can do that in Florida and other states around the union would do that, it'd be fantastic. I don't see that happening, but, I mean, it'd be awesome if he did. Could stop that. Well, so that, anyway, that gives you a taste of a little bit of the, he was their keynote speaker. He opened the convention, and then we got down to business after he finished and left.
Before we get down to business, though, one of the other points that he made that I really want to focus on is he said that he would jettison this central bank digital currency. He would prohibit that in his state. We need that in Utah, too.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. But, you know, I don't know how a state can stop that. I mean, I guess it would be implemented through banks, though, right? I mean, banks are.
Well, let me throw this out for you. As far as I understand, the Constitution says states shall only use gold and silver as legal tender, right?
Yeah, it says no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debt.
All right, so all DeSantis has to do is say we're going to start paying our debts in gold and silver now and nothing else will do.
You need to
immediately jettison every other bogus, you know, pretend currency and move to the honest currency mandated by the supreme law. I'm just following the law, and anybody who wants to try to play games with me on this is not following the law. And that's the start. And what happens is good currency, we learned this from Ron Paul in Modern Times, good currency drives out bad currency. That's where he can start, Lowell.
You're exactly right. You know, Utah led the way along this path in 2011 when Utah passed the law making gold and silver coin legal tender in the state of Utah, not subject to capital gains tax. You know, trading gold and silver coin is not subject to capital gains taxes here in the state of Utah. Wyoming and Oklahoma followed suit, and Arkansas just signed a bill this year to make that happen. So if Florida would do the same, I mean, that would be a huge blow to, you know, this central bank digital currency idea that the World Economic Forum wants to impose on all the countries in all the world. So I'm with you on there, Sam. I really hope that this will, you know, spark states throughout the country to do likewise and to follow the Constitution once again. Which says, again, those 17 most important words in the Constitution, no state shall make anything tender in payment or anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debt, right?
Just like he reigned in Disney, he could rein that in on the same principle and just say, look, we're going to follow the law here. The law's been broken for too many years, too many decades in our state, and we're going to fix it, and we're going to do it right now. And anyway, Ron DeSantis could literally double down in that venue and make a big difference. He also mentioned that New York's budget is twice the size of Florida's budget, even though, what, tourism? Florida's more populous than New York?
That's an interesting, can you believe that?
Reality,
that was a big surprise. That's right. Twice the size of Florida's budget, even though Florida is more populous than New York. Incredible. It's about a $100 billion budget, by the way. I mean, that's the size of Florida's budget, which is huge. But, man, alive, they're doing, you know, 2-to-1 better than New York is. So I thought that was significant.
It just goes to show, even though they may not be perfect, they're certainly doing something right comparatively. 2-1 is incredible in its reality. Yeah. And I'd be interested to take the budget versus the population and see how much they're spending per citizen. I'd be interested in some kind of a chart that could show me every single state and how much they spend on a given citizen and see who spends the least and correlate that to the proper role of government, Lowell.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you on that 100%. Now, one reason I sort of thought this was a stump speech for the presidency was he started talking about national issues. He said if the Democrats win in 2024, then they're going to pack the Supreme Court, they're going to abolish Electoral College, they're going to make Washington, D.C. into a state, and then eliminate voter ID in every jurisdiction, right? I mean, so he's warning. I mean, I think that's a little hyperbole, but nevertheless, it is somewhat of a risk, and he's saying that because he wants people probably to vote for him if and when he declares his candidacy for the presidency.
And whether they can get that done is a point that you bring up about hyperbole, but it is what their goals are, and they've stated those goals, though. So he isn't too far off from what they want. He may be far off from what they're going to achieve, given the chance, but his point is well taken, Lowell.
I just hope he'll stay governor of Florida. I don't want him to leave that post. I think the governorship is more important than the presidency. Sam?
Amen to that. I couldn't agree more. Arkansas, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is now the fourth state in the union to recognize gold and silver as legal tender. Yeah, Utah led the way in 2011, followed by Wyoming, Oklahoma, and now Arkansas. Great news. More in seconds. Lowell Nelson, Campaign for Liberty.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Liberty Roundtable Live right here on your internet radio. Sam Bushman, our host, and I'm riding shotgun this morning. My name is Lowell Nelson with the Campaign for Liberty, RonPaulInstitute.com, and many other organizations interested in restoring our republic, returning to the blueprint of liberty, the Constitution for the United States. Well, before we go too far, I want to cite this email from Connor Boyack, author of the Tuttle Twins series. Last week, Connor sent a very interesting email to his subscribers, and the subject of that email was education and schooling are fast becoming opposites. Now, this is something that I've always felt was the case. In fact, my older brother often told me, he says, don't let school get in the way of your education, because schooling is different from education. In fact, schooling today in our public schools is probably more like indoctrination rather than education. Connor then illustrates how too rigid of a structure for homeschoolers is bad. Well, he says traditional schools typically have a rigid schedule. Students move from one subject to another at predetermined times and so forth. And that's right. I mean, that's what happens in a school. And yet that defeats one of the objectives of school, which is to learn, right? And so he says, I often think about how many kids end up missing their calling because they had to move on from something that would have been life-changing if they'd only been able to spend a little more time on it. You know, how many, he asks the question, how many innovations and inventions would exist if not for the fact that the bell rang? You know, I think it's a great question. You know, I remember how our daughters struggled to change subjects when they were children going to school because they wanted to continue doing what they were doing and what they were most interested in. We even took a family home evening one night and played a game designed to give them practice in changing subjects. We had several stations posted around the house and a timer that went off every 5 minutes. When the timer went off, we had to stop the current activity, move on to the next station, and commence the next activity. And this was tough. This was really hard for our girls because they were naturally inclined to continue with their current activity. You know, and so, you know, I think children, every child is different. And we need to cater to their style of learning. And if they're in the middle of something and learning, you know, why stop them? You know, that's the latitude that you have in a homeschool that you don't have in a public school. In a homeschool, and in fact, the big mistake of most homeschoolers is they try to recreate in their home this public school paradigm. And it simply, it's bad. It's the paradigm that's bad. It's what's taught in the public school that's bad also, but the paradigm is a flawed paradigm, you know? So when our children are at home learning and they're smack in the middle of something they're fascinated by, they're interested in, then let them continue on, continue to learn. And so anyway, I just really appreciated this email from Connor Boyack. And, you know, and he mentions another flaw of government schooling, and that's the focus on grades and standardized tests. And you and I both know how little we remember of that material that we needed to know for those tests. And so what really is important, Sam, is the thinking skills, the problem-solving skills, the problem-solving process. That's what becomes most beneficial through all the years of schooling, whether it's homeschool or whatever. But Sam, what I want to repeat what my brother said. Don't let schooling get in the way of your education. Sam?
There's no doubt about that. And one last point I want to make about this. I agree with this point about saying, hey, education and schooling are not the same. Because remember, most of us, whether you go to high school and graduate or whether you go to college or whatever you do, if you're really a innovator, a thinker, if you're really somebody who is highly educated, you got to understand that learning is a lifetime pursuit. Learning also is this idea that I'm never learned. I'm always learning. Okay, so education and schooling aren't the same. I haven't been in school for 30 years or whatever. But you know what? I learn every day. I sit at the feet of incredible, brilliant minds on the radio for 2 hours every day and learn from incredible people like Lowell, Campaign for Liberty, and others. And then I go and I in my profession and I learn. New technologies come out and I've got to study it. I buy products and test them and play with them for knowledge. And, you know, learning is a lifelong pursuit to those who really want learning to be a focus in their lives, whether you're a mother at home taking care of children, which is one of the greatest professions ever known. He who the arm that rocks the cradle rules the world, so to speak. And so we need to understand that learning needs to be a lifelong pursuit. Education is merely a subset, a minor subset, I might mention, of that as well. It's the opposite of dead men walking, Kurt, Lowell.
Yes, the very opposite of dead man walking. And folks, this relates to the Anti-Defamation League's attack on Substack, saying that it continues to attract extremists and conspiracy theorists who routinely use the site to profit from spreading anti-Semitism and misinformation, disinformation, and hate speech. the latest salvo by the ADL against the First Amendment dovetails with a congressional push to further erode liberty with its draconian Restrict Act. The Restrict Act is dressed up as a response to TikTok and to China. Contrary to this propaganda, it will be used primarily to sanitize the internet and squash and criminalize all speech diverting from USG narratives, end of quote. That comes from a column written by Kurt Nimmo at theronpaulinstitute.org, encouraging us basically, folks, we need to continue our assault on the Restrict Act, this congressional initiative to double down on free speech, basically. They're doing it. They say that they need to squash and criminalize, you know, hate speech and disinformation and misinformation. But you and I both know that if we let that happen, they're going to criminalize all speech that they don't agree with. So they would criminalize truth, right? It's what Ron Paul always said, that the truth is treason in an empire of lies. And you and I both know that we do live in an empire of lies. We get lies from our politicians every day, from the media, and from corporations that want to make money off of their products that they want to impose upon us. So we live today in an empire of lies. And so truth is treason in this here empire. Well, the Congress wants to make that truth, the truth speakers, the truth tellers, they want to criminalize the act of telling the truth. We can't let that happen, folks. We have to push back against this Restrict Act, which is currently in Congress. Now, Nimmo writes that he writes, the crowning propaganda achievement of the next phase of authoritarian control over free speech is the theatrical SWAT takedown of a 21-year-old patsy, Jack Teixeira, a low-level National Guard airman that, according to the Washington Post, who we cannot believe ever, folks, anyway, somehow managed to get his hands on highly classified CIA and DOD documents. This is highly improbable, but then a blindsided American public is keenly fed improbable lies, exaggerations, and omissions by the USG and its corporate propaganda media. This takedown of Mr. Teixeira is a propaganda event designed to bolster further eradication of dissent and grease the skids for the passage of Restrict. End of quote. So, Sam, what this was, the Restrict Act was making its way through Congress, and then a couple weeks ago, we pushed out against it, pushed back against it. Thousands of patriots did push back against it. It seemed to slow it down, and so they orchestrated this takedown of Jack Teixeira in order to bolster support again for the Restrict Act. Well, we got to push back twice as hard now, folks. We have to call Congress, our senators and our representatives there, and demand, insist, you know, politely, but basically demand that they not pass the Restrict Act, right? They concocted this Jack Teixeira takedown in order to move the needle back in the other direction because they were getting so much pushback against the Restrict Act. So we need to double down again, folks, hit Congress up with our phone calls again and tell them, do not pass this act. It will not only chill, but freeze free speech here in the state. Sam?
You're right about that, Lowell. And this is something where this is the always learning, never learned principle that I'm talking about here. Look, you can read the act. You can read those who you trust who have studied the act. You can understand the Constitution and say, look, they're restricting our free speech as a First Amendment God-given right that a government has no authority to take away. Remember that. When we come back, we'll finish up on this. We also want to talk about Riley Gaines. We'll do it with Bull Nelson in seconds. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry. President Biden's domestic policy advisor, Susan Rice, is stepping down from her post next month. The move brings to close Rice's involvement with Biden's domestic agenda, including immigration policy. Rice's last day at the White House will be May 26th. Kentucky Representative James Comer, chair of the House Oversight Committee, is reporting more relatives of President Biden will be exposed for having received money from foreign adversaries. Comer on Fox News yesterday.
Well, right now we have 9, but I believe in the end that number will be at least 12. I mean, this was the Biden family influence peddling scheme. And you know, when people say, well, they were involved in ventures around the world, I haven't found a legitimate business on the Biden end. I found legitimate businesses that were paying the LLCs that were then turning around and laundering the money back to the Bidens.
As expected, Bed Bath & Beyond filed for bankruptcy protection to wind down its business after years of losses and failed turnaround plans. The company had warned it needed a $375 million loan to get through the holidays. It struck an unusual $1 billion financing deal with a hedge fund in February, but put off bankruptcy filing. Then ditched the deal and tried this month to raise $300 million from other investors. That did not work out. NBC Universal Chief Executive Officer Jeff Shell is out after an investigation into a complaint of inappropriate conduct. Effective immediately, was announced Sunday. Comcast Corporation is where he had worked for roughly 2 decades. The NBA basketball playoffs continue tonight. The Miami Heat, hosting the Milwaukee Bucks, will start at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. The Bucks look to even the series 2 games apiece. In the nightcap, the Los Angeles Lakers take on the Memphis Grizzlies. That game is set to tip off just after 10 p.m. Eastern. The Lakers lead that series 2-1. USA News.
We hear that a lot at ChickenDinnerCasino.com because we have so many winners. That's because we have so many ways to win, including slots, blackjack, poker, and more. Of course, you can step into our sports book and bet on any sport, including the NBA playoffs and Major League Baseball, with some of the best bonuses around. But don't just take my word for it.
Hey, it's Heath Bell here, former pitcher for the San Diego Padres.
Hey, this is Ryan Sandberg, Chicago Cubs Baseball Hall of Famer, number 23 retired.
Hey, it's 2017 NBA Slam Dunk Champion Glenn Robinson III here.
Be a winner by playing ChickenDinnerCasino.com.
Winner, winner!
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
ChickenDinnerCasino.com, where you can become a winner, winner. Like me!
And our listeners get special offers. Just go to ChickenDinnerCasino.com/USA. That's ChickenDinnerCasino.com/USA. And you can be a winner, winner today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Lowell Nelson here on Liberty Roundtable Live. This is Sam Bushman's show. I'm his guest today. Happy to be here. You know, I don't often reach out and praise a member of the mainstream media, but I have to do it right now. Let's give credit where credit is due. Megyn Kelly did a broadcast recently about the assault and battery of Riley Gaines at San Francisco State University. Many of you know and will recognize the name Riley Gaines. She's an elite athlete, a collegiate swimmer. Well, she was a collegiate until she graduated last year, who competed against Will Thomas, who changed his name to Leah, right? So Leah Thomas is the male swimmer that swam against the female in college there. Anyway, Riley Gaines is the gal. And she was invited to speak at San Francisco State University. She went, she spoke, and what happened? Protesters chased her off the stage. And getting off the stage, she was punched by a male, a transgender woman, but it's really a male. She was hustled into a nearby classroom and held there for about 3 hours while protesters shouted out at her. The protesters even demanded money, kind of a ransom, to let her out. I mean, she had police around her, but the police didn't do, you know, they sort of protected her, but really didn't do a whole lot to get her out of the situation. The university did not apologize to Riley Gaines, but they did apologize to the trans activists at her university. In fact, the university praised the students who ambushed Riley Gaines. So upside down. This is so backwards. Well, Megyn Kelly spoke out and on national media, huge. I mean, she's followed by well over a million people, and spoke out in support of Riley Gaines, who is speaking out against societies allowing biological males to compete against biological females. So this, I thought, was very notable, Sam, that Megyn Kelly would actually take broadcast time, and it wasn't a short broadcast. She actually spent a good chunk of time, national broadcast, supporting Riley Gaines and decrying the abusive behavior of the protesters who are guilty of assault and battery against her in this case. Sam?
The interview was about 10 minutes long, ladies and gentlemen. It was a foreign media discussion to some degree. Nevertheless, we cut out a clip of it. Here is Megyn.
An athlete in the university sector who was willing to speak out about biological men competing in women's sport. She speaks out. Protesters turn up. They hold her hostage. The university doesn't support her right to free speech. It congratulates the protesters.
Mm-hmm. She was physically attacked. Her name is Riley Gaines, and she had the unfortunate luck to have to swim against Leah Thomas, who's a trans woman, biological man, who was in the 500s as a male swimmer and became number one once he transitioned over to being a woman. And she came in tied against him in one of the big championship finals. And they wouldn't give her the trophy. They gave it to him because they wanted Leah Thomas to stand there with the trophy, not Riley Gaines, the actual female swimmer who was raised as a girl, has been a girl her whole life, unlike Leah, who was Bill about 2 minutes ago.
There you have it. I kind of find that very interesting indeed. Megyn does a great job and puts the truth of the matter, not only morally, but scientifically on the table, Lowell.
Yeah, she sure did. I'm so proud of her for doing that. I mean, I rarely praise a national media person like that. But boy, when she comes out and hits says the right things, she just knocked it out of the park with that particular interview. And so I'm so proud of her, and I appreciate her taking the time to do that. You know, this Riley Gaines, I didn't know some of the details behind the scenes here, and I want to talk about it for just a few minutes longer. Now, I knew that Riley Gaines was the woman who swam collegiately against this Leah Thomas, who is a biological male, but I didn't really understand everything that happened. See, Riley swam for the University of Kentucky. She's an NCAA All-American athlete. She tried out for the Olympics in 2016 and 2020. She's a five-time SEC champion. In fact, she holds the SEC record in the 200-meter butterfly. She was the SEC Scholar Athlete of the Year and the SEC Community Service Leader of the Year. And so it turns out this is what happened when she swam against this Thomas kid. In November of 21, right in the middle of the swim season, when Riley was ranked third in the nation behind a female competitor she knew very well, because it turns out the top-tier athletes know each other pretty well, regardless of what university they attend, because they always compete against each other, and so they know each other. But the swimmer who is ranked first in the nation was somebody named Leah Thomas, a senior in college, but Riley had never heard of him, of her, so-called her, Leah, and he was second ahead of others, both in short distances and in long distances. Well, it never occurred to Riley that Leah might be a male. She heard the name Leah and just thought, well, that's a woman's name, so I'm going to be competing against this female athlete. Well, a few days before the meet, information came out that this Will Thomas had competed for 3 years on the men's team, and she was shocked to learn that, that fact, but also relieved because she thought surely the NCAA would not permit Will Thomas to compete against women. This was just days before this race, Sam. And yet the NCAA did allow him to race in the women's race, and he won. And then the next day, Riley and Leah competed against each other in the very same race, and they tied, just like Megyn Kelly said. even to the hundredth of a second. Now, that's very rare.
And let me stop you there for a second, Lowell. I don't know that I believe they tied either. I know that's what they say, but I wonder, when you're talking about to a hundredth of a second kind of a thing, you kind of wonder if those numbers got fudged in favor of this male to promote this agenda. Mm-hmm. And the reason that I say that is because if you have a tie, you would either, one, do a tiebreaker, two, acknowledge the tie, but you wouldn't grant somebody the winner, especially a male and a female competition, unless it's just politically driven with an agenda. So I question that it was even a tie, Lowell. I know others aren't questioning that, but I will, because I'm convinced you don't have ties to the hundredth of a second, by the way. Somebody won, and if you need to go to the granularity of a thousandth of a second, maybe, but I'm convinced that it was an engineered tie all the way around.
Well, that may be,
and I'll tell you why I say that, because if Leah, this male, really won, then they would have said Leah won. But the fact is, Leah probably lost, and they made it a tie so that it would be controversial. They couldn't say it was a win by the loser. Otherwise, it would be too scrutinized. But if they say it was a tie, but they just went with one of them, now it's just an internal decision of, you know, what they think is best discussion, not a factual discussion of reality. And so I'm not convinced that this tie is not an engineered game playing in and of itself. They rig elections, and they rig contests. And this, in my opinion, is proof. Can you really tie it down to the hundredth of a second? I don't know that I believe that.
Great point, Sam. I hadn't thought of that.
Do you realize
at all
how much a hundredth
really
of a second is, by the way? If you take nanoseconds, you've got 1,000 nanoseconds in a second, right?
Yep.
So you're talking 10 nanoseconds, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's so tiny, you can't even humanoid deal with that differential. And so I'm convinced of game playing here for the tie, and I'm convinced that it's designed. And the proof in the pudding is, hey, never let a good crisis go to waste. You create a tie crisis, and then you go ahead and put the male as the winner of this female competition, jettisoning all science and all godly education on the subject, Lowell.
Well, it gets worse, Sam. The behind-the-scenes get even worse. It turns out that this Will Leah Thomas is 6'4". He's a 6'4" male, Sam. Now, what's the average height of the woman? In, you know, 5'6", 5'8", maybe? And so he is towering above all the other females in the race. He claims he's a woman, so the NCAA allowed him to compete with women. But even worse, the NCAA said that the locker room was unisex, meaning either or both genders could use it at the same time. Now, these swimsuits are very thin, they're very tight, and they take about 15 minutes to don the swimsuit. Now, can you imagine what it takes 15 minutes to don their swimsuit? These are full-length, body-length swimsuits, okay? And so Riley Gaines and the other competitors in the race and their parents, they were not warned that males were going to be allowed in the locker room. So here's Riley and her female swimmer collegiate athletes getting into their swimsuits at, you know, taking the 15 minutes that takes to get into their swimsuit. There they are in the locker room getting into their swimsuits, you know, basically naked, but getting into their swimsuits when this Will Thomas walks into the locker room. He undresses, exposes himself to the women who were dressing, and then proceeds to pull on his swimsuit. It's crazy, Sam.
In message one, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil, spiritual power the more they use the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power. Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1. That behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2. Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present-day, end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education, conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Roundtable Live. I'm Lowell Nelson here with Sam Bushman. Today we're talking about Riley Gaines, the female swimmer, one of the fastest female swimmers in the country, in the world, and the fact that before this infamous race that she had, where Will Thomas, who named himself Leah, tried to call himself a woman, he got into the race, but before the race happened, here Riley and her female swimmers were getting into their swimming suits in the locker room, and in walks this man, Will Thomas, who changed his name to Leah, and he undresses, exposes himself to the women, and proceeds to pull on his swimsuit. This is so upside down. This is so crazy. So Riley decided that she was going to speak out against the male athletes competing against female athletes. And she has been speaking out against this violation of women's sports for the past year, instead of going to dental school, which were her plans upon graduating from the University of Kentucky. Can you imagine that? She was in school. She graduates from college intending to go into dental school. But because this issue is so important, and I agree with her, she has now spent the last year talking about it instead of going to school. I mean, the passion and the determination of this woman, Riley Gaines, is admirable. I just applaud what she's doing.
Amen to that, Lowell. And this is where, Lowell, we need Americans to stand up just like Riley is doing. In my opinion, she's a hero. And if enough people stood up like Riley is doing, this psychosis would stop. This fake news, this false science, this dishonest satanic rhetoric straight from the pit of hell would stop, Lowell, if enough people stood like Riley, like we are doing. We need more of us. That is the quintessential problem, and that is the solution, Lowell.
Well, speaking of people who are standing up against it, we're happy to announce that worldwide known surfer Bethany Hamilton has stood up against it as well. She has declared this recently, last week or 2 weeks ago, that she will not compete against biological males. The World Surf League recently passed a new rule allowing transgender competitors in the women's division. So the WSL, that's the World Surf League, WSL says that they are following Olympic guidelines. So here's the Olympics. They're a world organization. They promulgate this guideline, and now the World Surf League says they're going to follow it. Well, see, Hamilton, you remember, became famous after losing her left arm in a shark attack at age 14. The movie Soul Surfer is about her. I love that movie. We have two or three copies here at home and have shared them with other
incredible
people.
Movies.
We love that movie. But despite those challenges, Bethany continued to surf. And she continues to surf. She's married, she's raising her family, and has competed professionally as a surfer for the past 15 years. She is another amazing woman. And what she says is this, quote, "While she does not personally have any issues with transgender people, allowing biological men to compete in the women's division is unfair to biological women," end of quote. You know, and she is so spot on. She suggested the creation of a separate division for transgender surfers. And then she asked some really great questions, Sam. Listen to these questions. Is a hormone level an honest and accurate depiction that someone indeed is a male or female? Is it really as simple as this? End of quote. And so bottom line, Sam, she says she will not, and let me emphasize the word not, she will not compete in or support the World Surf League if this rule remains in place. She's a champion surfer.
And Lowell, this is my point. You have people like Bethany. This is my point, Lowell. You have people like Bethany and Riley standing up. Just imagine if basketball players stood up. Just imagine if we, the people, stood up, people in the media such as myself and you and others. Just imagine if we literally shut down every organization on the planet that pushed for this false science agenda based on fake news. The idea that a man can become a woman or a woman can become a man just by thinking or claiming them to be so is a scientific falsehood, sir. And everybody knows it.
Absolutely.
Very few have the guts to stand up for the truth. And Bethany's willing to, and Riley's willing to. You and I are willing to. Just imagine if there was enough of us. That is the solution, people.
Yeah, I wish that collegiate athletes, for example, would just refuse to compete, for example, refuse to support the NCAA, just walk off and start their own league or something. I mean, that's what's got to happen. And I don't know, but you're exactly right. We need more people talking about this and standing up against this insanity. So proceeding now to the very last topic that, I wanted to mention this, Sam. This is kind of amusing, but it's so true. Riley Gaines is married, by the way. She's married, and her husband did not want her in the locker room in that situation. In fact, her dad, who is a former professional football player, he was willing to walk into that locker room and throw Will Thomas out. You can imagine what anger was coursing through his veins, right, when he found out what had happened in that locker room. But, you know, Riley persuaded
him. Well, more and more people are standing up. More and more people are standing up, and that's where we've got to take our cues from great leaders such as this, ladies and gentlemen. And the last point I want to make is, I don't know if you know, but we have gender inequity when it comes to crash dummies. Lowell, I don't know if you know, but they have male and female crash dummies and different stats related to it, the male or female crash dummy, on how abusive the crash can be to the dummy. And so that even highlights the point that we're making, that there is a difference between men and women. And even crash dummies prove the point, sir.
Well, what is that point? I've never heard that.
Yeah, you know what a crash dummy is, right? It's a male or female. I don't know what you want to call it. It's like a super doll that's set up to, it's got sensors all over it. It can tell how abusive a crash will be on the body and everything. And there's a difference. There's a male and female crash dummy because the repercussions on the size of a person, on the body organs and the details are different between men and women. And that's why they have male and female crash dummies. Well, there's an inequity there then. And so we just need to have male crash dummies become female crash dummies and such. I'm joking, but I'm highlighting this point that everybody knows this scientific truth, Lowell.
Hey, that's amazing. See, I knew there were crash dummies. I'd seen them, the commercials, you know, on cars when they wreck a car. They have a dummy inside, and they show you what happens to the dummy. But I hadn't really thought about the fact that they have female dummies and male dummies. But that, I guess what you're saying is that in those tests, the male dummy comes out better than the female dummy because they're built stronger or heavier or something like that? Yeah, pretty
amazing. It's just interesting in my mind. It's interesting in my mind that alone. I mean, these simple things just double down for truths that are so, I don't know what you want to call it, so evident to every one of us that it's not even funny. And everything in society doubles down on these facts that are just absolutely irrefutable. And that is the point that we need to stand on. We cannot let this fake news become the order of the day, right? We just can't. But we seem to be willing to do that for some reason under this lie of political correctness. It's a lie, Lowell, and it needs to be called out as such. I just don't know why there's not more of us.
Yeah, well, that's one of the great things about Liberty Roundtable, Sam, is that we do call out these lies and expose them for what they are. Another great columnist, Gary D. Bennett, he also calls out the empire on their lies. He's one of my favorite columnists. He lives in Montana. Gary D. Barnett. I said his name wrong. Barnett is his last name. Gary D. Barnett. He wrote a very insightful article a couple weeks ago about censorship. He was lambasting the Restrict Act, which we've mentioned earlier in the broadcast. And he writes this. He says, quote, "The total censorship insanity is aimed at all internet publications that are exposing reality and truth and is using TikTok as the scapegoat in order to censor, heavily restrict speech, and shut down all criticism and dissent by claiming, of course, a China connection," end of quote. So plain and simple, folks, the government wants to control what most people see and hear because hiding the truth benefits them. Gary then asserts that most people claim that such censorship is a violation of their First Amendment rights. Of course, that's true, but he also says this is a trap. Now, listen to this. Quote, "The assumption here by those who have been perpetually fooled is that this piece of parchment," meaning the Constitution, "has anything whatsoever to do with rights. No government can grant natural rights, nor can it protect them. This can only be accomplished by the people themselves, by relying on the very government that is suspending and eliminating the right to speak, that is continually bent on totalitarian behavior and the eradication of rights, to redress and reform itself is ludicrous on its face. If the government cannot give rights, why petition it to do so? For if government has the power to give rights, it has the unlimited power to take those rights away. Any reliance on paper issued by the
ruling class..." That's why it's quintessential to understand. Lowell, that's why it's quintessential to understand government doesn't grant rights. Government grants privileges. Rights come from God, and government acknowledges those rights.
Totally right, Sam. And so that one paragraph is worth its weight in gold, Sam. It really does us no good. But what he's saying here, folks, it does us no good to petition a government for rights it does not want to grant. So simple, so straightforward. And then he concludes with these words, Sam, quote, "The elimination of all free speech is sought by the controlling element of society in order to eliminate truth in favor of propagandized narratives. This can only lead to the total enslavement of society. Censorship is always meant to hide the truth, to cover up corruption and criminal behavior, and to stop thought and criticism. Censorship is a form of torture and murder of the mind and cannot be allowed to stand if liberty is to survive," end of quote. Sam, we must be able to speak freely. We got to stand up for the rights of others to speak freely if liberty is going to survive. Sam?
Amen to that, and my response to that is not on my watch, Lowell. The destruction of these sacred principles will not be allowed on my watch. We will stand up for what matters. We will make a difference in our own way, individually, as families, as society, as Americans. We will stand together and stop this. And you know, we win in the end. That's the point to remember, is that, you know what, God is the author of our rights, of our liberties, and we win in the end. The key is to turn to Him, Lowell.
Amen to that, brother. We have to return to God. We got to repent. If we'll do that, then He will bless us. He will heal our land. We have that promise from the Bible, 2 Chronicles 7:14. And it's up to you and me and all of our listeners, Sam. Let's make it happen. Let's repent. Let's call upon our God. And let's let Him heal our land. Sam?
Hello, great work, my friend. LovingLiberty.net, his website, LovingLiberty.net. Great stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for being alongside Ryan. Hopefully it was educational and entertaining. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net is our website. And remember this, folks, CampaignForLiberty.org. That is the key site for you to get involved with like-minded Americans. CampaignForLiberty.org. God save the Republic of the United States.